Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. It's been a dense few days of diplomacy for European leaders, a key NATO summit in The Hague pledging increased defence spending, followed by an EU summit in Brussels. We're in the EU Council studio to take a look at the crucial issues facing summit leaders. And on today's programme, we're pleased to welcome Sweden's Minister for European Affairs, Jessica Rosencrantz. She's been in the job since last year, and previously she chaired the Swedish Parliament Committee on EU Affairs, and she was also first deputy leader of the Moderate Party group in the Swedish Parliament. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Let's start with the defence spending and this 5% target that NATO agreed. We've heard at this EU summit comments from some of the more frugal countries, such as the Netherlands, saying there's no such thing as free money. So how do you think across the EU countries are going to actually reach this target?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's been an historic week, I would say. Leaders have agreed on a very ambitious 5% target at the NATO summit, and at the European Council, leaders are discussing and taking decisions on also how to carry out these investments. And that's something I think is quite fascinating now, to see how the EU can complement NATO, NATO setting the targets, the EU making it possible through several important instruments like the SAFE instrument, like the EDIP instruments, just to mention a few, who sort of give the possibilities for countries to do these investments or help countries do these investments. Because obviously we know that 5% is an ambitious target. Sweden has full focus and the goal of also reaching this 5% target. We have a eight-party agreement, so all parties in the Swedish Parliament agree to reach this target.
I believe you haven't agreed on whether to use the so-called escape clause yet to finance this defence.
We don't see the necessity for Sweden because we have a quite good financial situation, but we do support those measures for those countries who need to use them, because we see this as a joint European responsibility and a necessity, and then we have to do what we can, of course, to make it possible for countries. But our main point is always that it comes down to priorities, and sound and good public finances is in itself important. So, of course, all of us who now have to do these important investments, we also need to see how can we do this within our national budgets, do the necessary priorities. But then we also welcome that there are some tools available from the European side to make it possible, such as the escape clauses and other important tools.
Let's look at the situation around Russia and Ukraine. There is obviously discussions, or there have been discussions going on about an 18th package of sanctions. We've seen these persistent frictions between Hungary and Slovakia on the one side and other EU leaders on how far the EU is willing to go on these sanctions. What do you think a compromise could look like?
So Sweden has been pushing for the 18th sanctions package. We think it's really important to put further pressure on Russia alongside our direct support to Ukraine. Sanctions against Russia is really important to help Ukraine on the battlefield and put pressure on the Russian war economy. I think we will reach a conclusion, and I think that it's natural that there is a discussion beforehand. Different countries have different views, but so far we have managed to agree on the previous 17 sanctions packages, so I have good faith.
And of course, Sweden hosted this Nordic-Baltic format at the start of the summit. So you're trying to sort of take things further when it comes to Ukraine as well in that format.
Well, we live in turbulent times. There is a lot going on, many different conflicts that are sort of, requiring our attention. And we think it's important to remind ourselves that we have to keep Ukraine high on the agenda. In Sweden, we say that the support to Ukraine is our most important foreign policy priority. And we can also see now that Europe has actually surpassed the US when it comes to military support to Ukraine. We have a crucial role to play, and we really have to maintain our focus, but not just by talk, but also by delivering concrete support. And that is something that not least the Nordic-Baltic countries are taking a lead in, and what we are also pushing for among even more member states to really take this responsibility that we have for our joint security.
There's been also some discussion, at least on the sidelines of this summit, about the Hungarian government's ban on the gay pride march. And Sweden was one of 16 countries which addressed a statement to the European Commission urging it to use its rule of law toolbox to do something about that. What exactly would you like to see happen on this question?
To me, it's really important to say that EU is not just a geographical union. We're a union based on values. And as a member state, you have signed up to respecting fundamental values such as rule of law, anti-corruption, independent judiciary, and for allowing people to be who they are and love who they are. So implementing legislation in Hungary that basically means forbidding pride parades, but also actually means imposing restrictions on people's possibility to meet or to express their opinions, that's a serious breach. So I think it's important to use all the tools in the toolbox.
Including the Chapter 7, or is it too soon for that?
You know, we have different tools. One thing is going into now the upcoming negotiations on the budget. Not a single euro should go to a country that does not respect rule of law or our basic common principles. And that's something that Sweden will be really pushing for in this multi-annual framework. Second is to intervene legally in different court processes in the European Court of Justice. Right now, Sweden is intervening in many cases, including the LGBT law. And also, last but not least, we have the Article 7, which is sort of the ultimate tool in the toolbox. I think we should be prepared there to take the next step in discussing what we can do after having had 8 hearings with Hungary for 7 years, but they haven't really led to any change.
I'd like to talk a bit about the EU-Israel Association Agreement. Various colleagues of your Prime Minister in this summit have said that it's time for much tougher action on Israel. Do you think that it's time to actually notify Israel that it's in violation of its obligations?
I think that the situation in Gaza is terrible. We are always standing up for Israel's right to defend itself against Hamas. They even have an obligation in some way to act against this terror organization. But the way that Israel is conducting its warfare at the moment is unacceptable. And I really think that it's important to secure humanitarian access to Gaza. Sweden is actually the second largest donor of humanitarian support to Gaza in the EU. And this humanitarian aid does not reach the people that need it. So we need to put pressure on Israel to make sure that humanitarian aid gets into Gaza. We have welcomed the review of the association agreement, and there are clear indications that Israel is not living up to all the standards that it should. And I think we should, what we want as a next step is to have clear recommendations of how we can take this process further to put pressure on Israel to meet our requirements, not least when it comes to allowing for more humanitarian aid. We're also pushing for sanctions against some of the ministers in the Israeli government who are not seeking a two-state solution and who are sort of hindering the way forward, but we see no real progress here.
It's been said that the EU has lacked leverage both on Israel and on the whole situation around Israel and Iran. It's obviously issued a lot of statements calling for all sides to show restraint, but it doesn't seem to have a lot of tools to actually calm things down. Do you think, what do you think it should be doing diplomatically with Iran? Is there any hope of reviving talks, or do you think the US is going to just monopolize that space, basically?
I think in many ways in the Middle East, we see that Europe is not always the sort of plays the key role. We see other countries perhaps having more leverage, and to some extent that also depends on ourselves, that we do not always agree on a common position. But we have agreed on quite a lot when it comes to also the situation in Israel and Gaza, and I think we need to act on, not least the humanitarian access. On Iran, I think it's important to state that all leaders agree that Iran should not have nuclear weapons. And having that said, it's still important now to go back to the negotiating table, to de-escalate, to seek a diplomatic solution. And that's something that we can agree on.
Let's talk a bit about tariffs as well, because there's this 9th of July deadline to find a deal between the EU and the US. The German Chancellor, whose first UCO this is, he's adamant that the EU should focus on a few key areas like steel and chemicals rather than try and do a broader deal straight away. So just focus on a few key areas and go for a zero for zero agreement. Do you think that's realistic?
Our position from Sweden is to really make sure that we have EU unity in these negotiations, because I think perhaps what the US was anticipating earlier on, or at least what we were worried about, was that we were going to see a division among EU countries. This has not been the case. We have been able to preserve a unity in the negotiation. Obviously, the Commission taking the leading role, and that is something that we think is really good. I think we can expect a lot of discussions going forward on how exactly the tactics will be. But from a Swedish point of view, we are not afraid of taking actions against the US if it is necessary, but it is not the way forward that we want to seek. We want to seek a good negotiated solution where we all realize that it's beneficial both for the US and for American companies and consumers, as well as on our side, to continue to trade. And that is what's something that will make us both the richer and stronger on both sides. But we're not afraid to take measures if that is necessary. But I think we will come back to the whole strategic decisions going forward.
Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you so much for being my guest on Talking Europe. Jessica Rosencrantz is the Minister for European Affairs in the Swedish government. That's all for this edition of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.